Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here's Lorraine Chisholm.
Vancouver's Cooperative Radio, The National Post, Democracy Now!, The New York Times, The Nation, and Monthly Review. Some of these are alternative media. Others are mainstream media. If you asked what the differences are, chances are you get as many different answers. Michael Albert is founder of South End Press, Zed Magazine, and Zednet. He's the author of many books, most recently Paracon, Life After Capitalism. We've contacted him today to explore the question of what makes alternative media alternative. Hello, Michael. Welcome to Red Eye.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Now, we have a general sense of the concept alternative media. Maybe you could begin by explaining its popular meaning.
I think the broadest meaning is media that isn't subordinate to major corporate control. I think that's one sense in which the term is used. So that media that's nonprofit, media that is sort of outside the scope of and the control of large-scale organizations like Time, Newsweek, or Gulf and Western, you know, corporate sponsors and owners. Media that doesn't rely on funding and other kinds of support from those directions. That's what people usually mean by the term. I don't think it's the only possible meaning, but it's the most typical one.
So what should we be looking at when we try to assess alternative media?
Well, if we have in mind that alternative media offers us something dramatically different than mainstream media, that's the other word I want to use, then I think this is what we should have in mind. By mainstream media, I mean corporate media. I mean, you know, the New York Times, Time Magazine, the various institutions, the TV networks, and so on. These institutions exist to make a profit. They, for the most part, sell audience to advertisers. They convey information and also entertainment, of course, constrained by those ends. The goal is not to edify the public. The goal is not to find a moral ground upon which to think about society and what can be done with it. None of those things are the goal. They're at best peripheral and rarely even that. The goal is profit for owners and, to a considerable degree, reproduction of sort of the broad basic conditions of society. So if corporations own a news network, that news network is concerned with reproducing the conditions of corporate rule. That is, after all, who they are. So by alternative media, we mean media institutions which do something different, which are organized to convey truthful and honest information, to provide analysis, vision, understanding, which can help people improve the quality and the character of their lives rather than profit owners. If we say that, and it's certainly true that being nonprofit is a positive attribute, it's certainly true that being free of control by huge mega corporations is a positive attribute, but I think there are some other attributes that are positive and important. For instance, our media institutions could be internally democratic. Our media institutions could be internally multicultural rather than embody internally a single culture. They could be internally gender equitable, feminist, rather than embody XX norms internally. Why is this important? Well, if our institutions, like mainstream ones, are internally hierarchical, if they're internally sexist and racist, if they're internally ruled by a few people with others merely following orders, the whole ethos, the whole internal ethos will be consistent with that kind of structure. It will sort of rule out criticizing that kind of structure, paying attention to its failings. And that's a problem, because then that means the alternative isn't really there. It means that the media behaves more or less like mainstream media, even though it's not quite as large, even though it's not quite as corporate, even though it might be collectively operated instead of of profit-oriented. So I think mainstream media should embody internally in its structure the values that it's trying to explore in its coverage. And when it does that, I think it offers a tremendously important service to its respective audiences. Let me just say one last thing. Because of that, I think its respective audiences should support it. I happened to notice that when I was waiting to get on the air that you're in a funding drive. I didn't know that when I was asked to talk. But I want to just say I think that such drives are very, very important. They are the alternative to corporate advertising being the mechanism that controls information flow. They are the alternative to profit-oriented funds being the control. So I think I hope that your audiences will respond to your appeal and support the station.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I think another question that I kind of want to raise with you is you talked about some very important values that should be embodied in alternative media institutions. Does that extend to the relationship to the audience in terms of exchange of ideas?
Certainly to the extent possible. I mean, you know, it's difficult in a system like ours, I mean, an economic and a social system like the surrounding one that we operate with, it's very difficult to have a mechanism by which audience can impact content, audience can impact broad values and agendas of, say, a station or a print media, for that matter, like I work with, or an online system. But to the extent that we can, you know, despite all the impediments, we certainly should. Yes, I think so. To the extent that proves possible, we should try and do it. And if we can't literally create the mechanism by which audiences can impact the activity, then we should try to be very, very attentive to their needs and desires and to address them.
Now, you've talked about internally changing the organization and the hierarchies in alternative media projects. What are the limitations of instituting democratic procedures without actually changing the ownership?
Well, I mean, if a media institution is owned by one or a relatively small group of people, and if they have a complete and final say over what occurs, the limitation then is, so long as they continue to have that complete final say, it's their will. The institution will reflect their will, period. I don't think that's what an alternative media institution should be. I think an alternative media institution should be publicly or socially owned or owned by its audience, if you want. I don't think ownership really should have anything to do with the decision-making structure. I think that should be a function instead of the people who work there. Let me just try and say why it is that I think the internal character of our media institutions matters. Suppose we have a media institution. It could be a print institution or a radio institution or what have you. Suppose that internally, to make the case very stark, it looks like an old southern plantation in the United States with regard to race, or it has Jim Crow racist relations of the 1950s. Or suppose that it looks like and it sort of embodies the culture and the style of Playboy, you know, the Playboy institution, or any patriarchal structure and institution, an old-style American football team, and so on. If it has those kinds of structures internally, what do you think the probability is that it will do a good job of reporting on racism or reporting on sexism? It's pretty much zero. It's not likely that the people who inside such an institution are the beneficiaries of racial and sexual hierarchies inside the institution are going to do an exceptionally good job of perceiving, reporting on, analyzing, and being critical of the same kinds of relations out in the society. They're not likely to do that. It's not the way human beings function. The same holds for class. If our institutions have a hierarchy that looks exactly like the structural hierarchy of Time Magazine or the New York Times, in other words, if our institutions internally are operated such that, you know, roughly 20% of the employees, and in small institutions, you know, that'll mean 2, 3, 4 employees, have all the power, and the rest are obedient, they're not going to challenge very effectively that same kind of organization outside. that same kind of organization, the society at large. So I think our institutions have to be, you know, consistent with the values that we want embodied in the reporting and in the analysis. And if they are, then the reporting and the analysis will reflect that and be much more effective.
Certainly is a lot of interest here in Canada, and I know in the U.S. too, in the media democracy movement. Do you think that as part of this that alternative media institutions or independent media institutions are making progress towards these kinds of values?
Well, yes, and I think it should be a two-pronged affair, if you will. Fighting for media democracy, one side of that is putting pressure on mainstream media institutions to be more internally democratic, to reflect more the reality of the world around us and to have values that are worthy. So I think we should pressure them. Pressure them in the same way that the anti-corporate globalization movement pressures the IMF. That is to say, I think my own inclination is that we should have a media movement, if you will, which rallies people, develops consciousness, and eventually holds demonstrations, huge, massive demonstrations outside of mainstream media institutions like major newspapers and TV networks and so on. So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is our own institutions. They're so far much smaller. We have fewer assets. But I think we should try and, to the extent possible, utilize those assets in the most effective way. And that means, I think, eliminating to the extent we are able, it's a struggle, it takes time, but eliminating to the extent we are able inside of our own institutions the typical structures of the mainstream, whether they be racial or gender or class. So I think it's a two-sided process.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for joining me this morning and really appreciate your getting us kicked off on our Media Democracy Day special.
I hope it's helpful, and I, again, hope that you do very well in your fundraising campaign.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Michael Albert. Michael Albert is the founder of South End Press, Zed Magazine, and ZedNet.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada.